Hello, and welcome to Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Jensen Franklin and would like to enjoy more resources, devotionals, including our weekly updates, we hope you'll visit our website at jensenfranklin.org.
I want to give you a guided tour of the place the Bible calls heaven. I want to whet your appetite to go there because some of you listening to me are not ready. The truth is, if the trumpet were to sound, or if you were to die and be thrust into eternity, you are not ready to meet God. The challenge of this message is reflected in a story that I heard about a little boy who was born blind. He had never seen the beauties of nature. He had never seen a sunset, a sunrise. He had never seen trees and flowers and beautiful sights. And his mother did all she could to describe to him how beautiful the world is, but somehow she couldn't communicate exactly all that she tried to. And she heard about a famous doctor who had come up with an operation that could heal and bring healing to the condition of her son. She got him to this surgeon. He performed surgery. They bandaged the boy's eyes up. And finally, after weeks of waiting, came the big day when the bandages would be unwrapped. And they got to the last bandage being unwrapped. And the question was, will the little boy who's never seen before finally see? And sure enough, when the last bandage came off, the boy's eyes became open. He ran to the window and he looked out. He saw the glorious sunshine. He saw the trees and the grass and the birds and the flowers. He was overwhelmed and he said, "Oh, mother, why didn't you tell me how beautiful this place is?" And she said, with tears streaming down her cheeks, "Son, I tried, but I just couldn't do it justice." And I want to preach on heaven. I want to try to tell you about heaven and describe heaven to you. But I want to apologize to God and his holy angels in advance because I know I will not be able to do it justice. The man who wrote 13 books of the New Testament and had a brilliant mind, the Apostle Paul, was given a guided tour of this place called heaven. And after going through it, he tried to put down in writing what it was like and concluded with these words. He said, "The half has not entered into the minds of men what God has prepared for those that love him." Dream as big as you can dream of what you think heaven is and its joys and its delights, and you've only reached half of what God has prepared. Imagine the greatest and most pleasurable place that you can imagine and joy-filled place, and you have only reached half, according to the Apostle Paul, of what awaits the righteous there. Because I love you, I want you to go there. Because God loves you, he wants you to go there. But far too many are simply not ready. Jesus said in John chapter 14, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place that where I am, there you will be also." The first wonder of heaven is the wonder of what won't be there. And according to the scripture, there will be no sorrow. There will be no sickness there. Revelation 21 and 4 says, "And God shall wipe all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, nor pain, for the former things have passed away, and behold, all things are new." In heaven, it's a place where there are no cancer wards. There is no heart disease. There's no diabetes, no limbs twisted with arthritis, no asthma victims wheezing for breath, no no wheelchairs, no deaf ears, no blind eyes, no crutches, no ICU wards. In heaven, there will only be absolute perfection. The Bible teaches us that Jesus makes all things new in heaven. As a matter of fact, the Bible promises that everyone who makes it to heaven will have a new body. You'll have a new name written down in glory. You'll have a new mansion in a new city called New Jerusalem. You'll have a new nature. You'll drink new wine at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and you'll sing a new song. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, for he has redeemed us of every tribe and of every nation, and he will make all things new. There will be no sorrow, no sickness. There will be no suffering in heaven. There will be no sin in heaven. James 4:17 said, "For he that knoweth to do right and does not do it, it is sin." Sin is rampant in our nation today. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sins will surely die, the Bible declares, and your sins will find you out. You can't live wrong and die right. And if you die in your sin, you will go to a place that is prepared for the devil and his angels. But sin will not make it to heaven. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And that's why you need a Savior. We live in a nation, America, that is demanding a gospel that is bright and brotherly and breezy and light and calm, and it doesn't offend anybody. And we laugh at the power of sin to destroy people's lives. Our nation is swimming in a moral sewer of divorce and rape and murder and drugs and gangs and pornography and adultery and AIDS and abortion and suicide. And we are seeing the effects of sin. Sin destroys. Sin thrills and then kills. Sin fascinates and then assassinates. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Sin is not your friend. Sin is not something you can play with. Sin is not something that you are just to look at lightly. It is a destroyer. It's like a cancer. If you don't get it, it will get you. But the answer to sin is Jesus Christ. The answer and the solution is to repent of your sin, turn back to the Bible, turn back to morality, turn back to truth, turn back to integrity and holiness, without which no man will see God. And in heaven, there will be no sin. Isn't it going to be a wonderful place? Sin is what destroys homes and families and lives, but there'll be no sin in heaven. The second wonder of heaven is that so few are going. When you understand how big heaven is and how few are going, a lot of people don't understand that not everybody's going to heaven. Listen to these words carefully. Matthew chapter 7 in verse 13. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many, meaning a majority, go there that find it. Narrow is the way that leads to heaven, and few there be that find it. We sing when we all get to heaven, but it's possible to sing a lie as just as easy it is to tell a lie. Matthew chapter 7 in verse 22 says, "Many will say unto me on that day," judgment day, "Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name? Have I not cast out demons in your name? Have I not done a lot of wonderful religious things in your name?" And God's response will be, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Many will say, the Bible said, and many will be turned away. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 18, "And if the righteous scarcely be saved," this is an incredible verse. This is New Testament. We just preach everybody's going to heaven no matter how you live. "If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" I'm saying to you today that one of the wonders of heaven is how few people are going to go. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the way. No man comes unto the Father but by me." And there's coming a day when we will stand before God, and all that will matter is that you have repented of your sins and you have followed Jesus Christ, and you will be able to hear him say that you are one of his own. And there will be many in that day who will not make heaven their home. My prayer for you on this Sunday morning is you will not miss making your reservation in that place called heaven. I'm saying to you today that there's a third wonder in heaven, and it's how you get there. A lot of people want to go to heaven, but nobody wants to know how to get there, and there's only one way to get there. That's called death. Death or the rapture. If Jesus doesn't come before you die, you're going to die. Everybody in this room is going to die. Everyone wants to go to heaven, but no one wants to die to get there. Death is a certainty. The Bible said it is appointed unto man. There's already an appointment made. Well, you don't make the appointment. Death does. Your death is already appointed, and it will catch you maybe by surprise, but it will not catch God by surprise. It's appointed unto man once to die. Listen to this. And after this comes the judgment. You're not going to get out of life alive. You're not ready to live until you're ready to die. And one out of one die. Some say that death is soul sleep. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. The moment a believer dies, their spirit, their eternal spirit, leaves the physical body, and it is instantly in the presence of the Lord. There it waits for the day of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when it says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ shall rise first to meet the Lord in the air, and he will bring back with him our eternal spirits, and our bodies will be resurrected. I want you to understand that that is the promise of the scriptures. The Bible lets us know this point, that eternity is real and heaven is real, and you need to understand how long it is. Listen to this. The fourth wonder of heaven is that what heaven is really like. What will your first day in heaven be like? The first thing that will happen is God will wipe all tears from your eyes. He will give you one of five crowns and a dazzling robe. The Bible says that there are five crowns that we can win, and everyone who's born again gets the crown of life. But then there's a soul winner's crown that the Bible said. If you win souls, if you reach people, if you invite people and they get saved because you prayed for them and you reached for them, you'll get a soul winner's crown. There's a victor's crown. That's people who go through trials and they don't give up, tribulations and they don't quit. One day you will be rewarded with a victor's crown. There's the martyr's crown. Those even in the Middle East, we see and hear the stories of people who, and all over the world, who are being killed and martyred for the gospel's sake. And in nations where they're hostile to the gospel, they will receive a crown called the martyr's crown. And lastly, there's the elder's crown, the leaders, those who faithfully, with integrity and honor, lifted up Jesus and led the body of Christ, they will receive a crown. And then we'll receive a dazzling white robe. There's a city there that's called the New Jerusalem. It's four square. It has 12 gates of solid pearl. It has streets of fine spun gold. It has a river of life going down the middle of it. Mansions there are created by the architect of the ages, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Your mansion is there. My mansion is there. And it would make the Taj Mahal look like a mud hut on a dirt street. And you're going to see it and live in it one of these days. I want you to understand that things may not be so good for you here, but the Lord sent me to tell you this is not your place. This is not your home. We are pilgrims. We are strangers. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And maybe you don't ever get rewarded much here on earth. I promise you there's coming a day of reward in heaven, and it will be worth it all. Everybody take a praise break. Everybody praise God for our eternal home called heaven. Come on, just think about it for a moment. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heaven is a place of rejoicing. I said heaven is a place of rejoicing. Revelation 5:12 said, and they sang the song, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive, say it with me, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and glory and blessing. That sounds like a bunch of rejoicing going on around the throne of God. It's not sad. It's not pitiful. It's not gloomy. It's not dark. It's not depressing. We're not in the land of the living going to the land of the dying. We're in the land of the dying going to the land of the living. So rejoice. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? The worst thing that can happen to a Christian is not death. To live is Christ. To die is gain. The fifth wonder of heaven is the wonder of reward. Revelation 22 and 12 said, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work." He said, according to how you've worked for me is exactly how I will reward you. Revelation 19 and 7 is eye-opening, and it said, "Let us rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the fine linen," speaking of the bridal gown that we will wear, the robes that we will wear, "is the righteous acts of the saints." The point is this, and listen carefully. Your wedding garment is being constructed by your righteous acts right now. And some of you are going to have a glorious, beautiful robe of righteousness because of all of the good things and the witnessing and the love and the help that you've done for other people and served those as you've done it unto the least of these. You have been sewing your wedding garment. Some of you will have a beautiful garment, and some of you will be lucky to have a pair of socks at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Every time you give, every time you sow, every time you love, every time you make a phone call, every time you sing a song, every time you give of yourself in service to the King, you're sewing that garment together. I heard the story of a man who got to heaven. Simon Peter was there at the gate to meet him. And he said, "Oh, please take me to my mansion." And he started taking him down the glorious streets of heaven and showed him a mansion there. And he said, "Is that it? Oh, no, that's not yours. That's Billy Graham's. And no, that's not yours. No, that's a guy who preached in the prison every week. And no, that's a lady that ministered in the nursing homes and helped people. And that one fed the hungry. And that one was a giver in the church and just blessed and gave. And that was finally they keep going, and the houses keep getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and finally they get to the ghetto side of heaven. There's a log cabin with a little candle in it, and that's about it. And Peter turns and says, "Welcome to your eternal home in glory." And he says, "I don't understand." He said, "How can this be?" And Peter said, "That was the best that we could do with the material you kept sending up." The rewards of heaven. The rewards of heaven. And I'm almost done. But the sixth wonder of heaven is that we will be absolutely satisfied. Pleasures don't satisfy. Money doesn't satisfy. Solomon said all is vanity. Unbelief doesn't satisfy. The atheist is not satisfied. Money does not satisfy. Fame does not satisfy. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Not power, not possessions, not profits, only Jesus. Not wealth, not fame, not pleasure, not another car, not another house, only Jesus. Only Jesus satisfies. Everything else is an illusion. It's a fraud. It's a hoax. To think if I get that, I'll be satisfied. If I reach that goal, I'll be satisfied. It breaks your heart and it destroys your soul in many cases. The truth is, in heaven, you'll be satisfied because Jesus will be there. The seventh wonder of heaven is that it's eternal. It's eternal. You see, there was a time when you were not. When Caesar ruled Rome, you were not. When Columbus sailed to the New World, you were not. When the founding fathers founded America, you were not. But there will never be a day from now on when you will not be somewhere. 10,000 years from now, you will be somewhere, in heaven or in hell. You will be somewhere, if you can fathom it, 1,000,000 years from now. We have eternal souls, and the last wonder of heaven is it is eternal. It is forever and forever and forever and forever. This life is just the dress rehearsal. Then comes the real thing, eternity. What are you doing with your soul? What are you doing with Jesus? Are you ready? Because you will either spend eternity in heaven or in hell. And if your name is not written, the Bible said, all whose names were not written in the book of life in heaven were cast out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. But I'm so glad that there's a place called heaven. And for any and everyone in this room who's not ready, those of you listening in Overflow, those of you listening to me on the internet, I've spent most of my life now preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've stood on platforms all over the world and preached the marvelous name of Jesus. And I'm more convinced that we're running out of time and Jesus is coming again soon. And if there was ever a time to get back to just preaching and preparing people for eternity, it's in the hour that we're living in. Where will you spend eternity? This is your moment of decision. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to pray for you. If you're in this room today and you would say, Jensen, I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. I want to know that my name is written in heaven. I want to make it to that place where I know I have loved ones. I want to know that my sins are forgiven. I don't ever want to hear the dreaded words, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Please hear me. I feel a tug from another world here this morning. You're not hearing this message by chance. There's a battle for your soul going on right now. Hell wants you. Heaven wants you. And your vote decides where you spend eternity. Humble yourself. Forget your pride. It'll melt in the presence of a holy God. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, but it'll be too late then and there. Do it now. Do it today. Forsake whatever you have to forsake and take up your cross and follow Jesus, because heaven will be worth it all. It'll be worth it all. Pastor, pray for me. I don't know that I'm right with God, and I want to know that I'm right with God. Pray for me this morning. If that's you, I want to embarrass you. I'm going to pray for you. Right where you are, know that he never comes where he's not invited. And in a moment when I ask you, when you raise your hand, that is your invitation for him to come. Pastor, pray for me. I want to get right with God today. I want to know I'm saved and my name is written down in heaven. Pray for me. If that's you, boldly raise your hand right where you're sitting, all over this room. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. That's amazing. That's awesome. I want every one of you that raised your hand to trust me. Just trust me. Get up out of your seat this very moment and walk down the aisle and come stand right down here. Just as quick as you can. Just stand up right where you are. Stand up right where you are. Get out of your seat and come stand right down here in the front. Here they come. Here they come. Here they come all the way across. Here they come. Here they come. Here they come. Here they come. Come on. Someone else needs to come. 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 Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Isn't this beautiful? Isn't this? Somebody had some of these in prayer circles this week. Somebody was praying walls of resistance down in your life this week. That's beautiful. That's the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart. Look at this. Isn't this amazing? Here they come. Here they come. Here they come. Here they come all the way from the top balcony. Come on. Come on. We'll wait on you. We'll wait on you. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. Everybody, pray this prayer. All of you who came forward, pray this prayer. This is an eternal moment. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me enough to carry my sins to the cross. I don't know why you don't give up on me, other than you really do love me. Seems like others have, but you have never given up on me. And I thank you for that. And I receive your acceptance. I receive your love. I receive your forgiveness. I'm clean. I'm washed. I'm forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. And now my name is being written down in heaven. I'm in the book of life. And one day I'm going to see you face to face. Thank you for your mercy, for your grace. I don't have to earn it. I just receive it. I am forgiven in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Kingdom Connection. We hope this has been a blessing in your life, and we'll share this and other great resources with your friends. Visit JensenFranklin.org for new teachings and free podcasts, videos, and blogs. And be sure to connect with us via Twitter @Jensen or Facebook @JensenFranklin. Thanks for listening to the Kingdom Connection Podcast, and have a great week.